Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
But first this morning, if you're a fan of Jeremy Clarkson's prime series, Clarkson's Farm, about life on his farm in the Cotswolds, you'll know that Jeremy's partner is a stunning Irish woman called Lisa Hogan. She's really involved in the running of the farm, a far cry from her modelling and acting days. Well, Lisa is going to be the lead judge of the Dubai Duty Free Irish Derby on Sunday the 30th of June at the Curra. And she's joining me now on the line from Diddley Squat Farm. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, how are you?
Lisa, you're very involved in Clarkson's Farm and I know you've made the farm shop your own project. Before we get into that, tell me a bit about your own background. You don't come from a farm, do you?
No, but I was always a bit of a land child. So I was always outside. You know, I would, if I saw a donkey, I'd be riding the donkey. We used to go to Cahir Daniel every year. And I was always much happier outside looking for bees and beetles than sitting at a desk.
Tell me about your parents then, where you grew up.
So we grew up in Dublin. Dad was from Dublin. Mum was from, is what she is still from, Newcastle, well, Durham. And she moved over to Ireland with her parents when she was 9. But she moved to London when she was younger and then lived in Paris where she met my father. And then they both came back to Dublin. He was an architect out there and Mum was modelling for Nina Ricci.
And her maiden name was Arlene Underwood, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And she's doing well?
She kind of started up, well, it was small before, Friends of the National Gallery, and ran that for years, making it into a huge success. And then went back to do her doctorate at Trinity, translating medieval Latin charters.
Wow.
So her life has changed a bit, yeah. And she still writes, she still translates. She still plays tennis 5 times a week. The odd golf game in between her translating. So she is very much up and running. Yeah, she's amazing. And she's an incredible grandmother.
She was also remarkable, Lisa, though, wasn't she? Because you were only 14, I think, when your father, Morris, died of a heart attack. And then she was left alone bringing up you all, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was just, I mean, early 40s. And 4 young girls. Sarah was 15, my older sister. I was 14. And then there was daughters of 6 and 7. And Mum was heartbroken. She was so besotted with my father. And she literally didn't move for a year and then thought, I've got to do something. So that's when she went to Trinity and studied art history and then went on to run Friends of the National Gallery. So she's had a whole other life, but she still talks about Dad the whole time. And all of the grandchildren feel like they know my dad really well because Mum discusses him in every sentence.
Can you remember, I remember talking to Paddy Keelty actually about the death of his father and he was very young in school as well. Can you remember that moment when you realised your father had died?
Well, yeah, the headmistress came into the class I was in at Alexander College and we all got into the car. So I was there with my sisters and she didn't say anything. And I thought, gosh, is something amazing going to happen? Have we won a prize? And then we got back and all the shutters on the house were closed and Mum just opened the door and she just couldn't speak. And his coffee cup was still warm on the table. You know, he had dropped her out to her bridge lesson and he had gone on to, he was doing a meeting. And then a woman who was passing by recognized that he wasn't alive in the car. He died of an arrhythmia and there was a virus going around at the time. So it was a viral arrhythmia. And Mum got a call when she got back. Oh, the police arrived. So yeah, it was a real shock. But I remember just going up to my bedroom and being very silent for a long time. And slightly bonding with him in on that other level. So I always felt during my travels and what have you, we'd have conversations. And there are certain situations that I would land myself in, you know, up a mountain without a torch in Bali and go over a cliff and grab onto a tree. And I'd be like, thanks, Dad. So I always felt that we remained close.
Now, you went into modelling and acting and you were very successful. What kind of work were you doing? Was that mainly in Ireland, Lisa?
Well, I started off in Ireland and I always enjoyed the ads more. So when I was doing ads, there was a strike in America. So a lot of the Americans were coming over and doing ads. So I did, Monopoly, Trivial Pursuit, and those were always, fun and enjoyable. And that gave me enough money to buy a ticket to Australia. So then I went off and I worked in the city in Australia, but then I always did ads just to kind of top up. But I always preferred the acting side as opposed to the photography side.
And you got to know John Cleese in working on Fierce Creatures. What was it like working with him?
He's great, and it was an incredible experience. And I started off basically, I was doing a liquidation account in BCCI, which was our bank that had gone down. And it was quite dull. So I started moonlighting, doing research for Castle Rock. And then he took me on to do research for Fierce Creatures, which was great. So gave up my job, went into Pinewood doing research. And then they offered me the part against Ronnie Corbett because there was a foot between us. So then I became part of the gang, the kind of talent gang, and but I was still kind of in the background doing production. So it was an amazing experience. It was fantastic.
Oh, it must have been such fun. Then, of course, I think you were engaged at the time, was it, to Baron Stephen Bentinck? But do you mind telling me, because people won't know about that flight you were on, Lisa, because I do think it changed a lot, your attitude to life. Do you mind taking us back to that time in 96?
Yeah, we were. It was a flight going from Mallorca to Northolt, which was near Pinewood, and we had to do some reshoots for the movie. So basically, when we landed and we crashed, we went through the barrier at the end of the M40, and I was in fetal position, quite relaxed, and I just thought, well, this is it. Okay, I'm going to be with my dad now, and everything was smashing around me when the plane finally stopped. The nose had come off. The truck had come through right in front of me, so it was just debris, and the door had come off. And then I heard the captain still screaming at the co-pilot because they had been fighting. And so I stormed. I couldn't find my bag and my shoe. I stormed down the wing and hopped off, and sat on the motorway. And this very nice guy came over and he said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I need my bag, and I need my bag and my shoe. And can I borrow your phone? And do you have a cigarette?" So I lit up aviation fuel everywhere, and I called the production team, and the producer was there, and he picked up, and I said, "Look, I'm really sorry, I'm stuck in a traffic jam." And he said, "You wouldn't believe it. There's a friggin' plane on a friggin' motorway, and Jamie Lee Curtis is stuck, Kevin Kline is stuck," and I'm like, "I'm in the same traffic jam," and they found out the next day, obviously, when it was all over the papers. And they said, "Why didn't you say it was you?" And I said, "Well, because I didn't want to get into trouble." But they were all very kind. And then I spent a couple of days. My then fiance was very upset that I'd been in the plane crash because he'd been told that there was no survivors. So I called him up from the hospital and I said, "Look, I'm fine, but I don't have my passport." And he was like, "This is some sick joke. Who are you? Everyone's being killed." And I said, No, we're all fine, actually," which was extraordinary. But I flew that day. I flew back to Mallorca that day to look after my upset fiance, which should have been a bit of a warning sign. And I just wanted to fly straight away again. I didn't want to be afraid of flying.
And how do you think that experience affected you afterwards? I mean, you decided to fly immediately, which people probably say was a very good thing to do, but did it change your philosophy about life and death and what was important to you?
Yeah, I think having seen my mother so devastated after my father died, it made me cautious of, say, falling in love with someone, because then if they die, you're just devastated to an enormous degree. So I backed away from that. And I suppose having the plane crash, I just thought, well, I could be the one to die first. And I thought, oh, well, let's not worry about that then. Yeah, just things I feel like I can't crash again. I mean, it would be amazing to have two plane crashes. So, and statistically, very, very unusual. So even when we're in bad weather now, I just think, well, I've kind of had my adrenaline junkie thrill. So I don't think it'll happen again. So I'm quite relaxed. If there's a dangerous situation, I'm quite calm.
Now, you went on to marry that Baron. You had three
I
beautiful
did.
children. It reads like an extraordinary, glamorous lifestyle, Lisa. You live between several homes and a magnificent yacht, loads of money. But I presume it wasn't all glamour and fun.
It was. I think what I didn't realize then was the kind of cycle of mental health that happened. So there was times when there would be a very, very low mood for about 16 months, and it coincided when it lifted with my first child, and then it went down again, and then it coincided his happiness with the birth of my second child, and then it coincided with the birth of my third child, the happiness. And I thought, I can't keep on having, I have three children under three. I can't keep on going to make him happy. And then once, we learned more about mental health issues, I realized that there was a cycle, and that wasn't really addressed, and it didn't want to be addressed. So that made life a little difficult.
But you still have your beautiful three children, Wolf, Alice, and Lizzie.
Yeah, I do.
Where are they in the world, Lisa, now?
So my youngest, Alice, finished Leeds. She came back last week, and she was studying philosophy and history of science. So I think she's going to travel a little bit and then might do a law conversion. My son is in New York. In fact, he's about to get his sixth wisdom teeth out. So, and then my, oh, and, but he works in New York now. He was at university studying economics and marketing in Boston, has moved to New York. So he has a kind of visa there for the next little while. So he's really enjoying that. And then my eldest daughter, she's kind of on the land as well. She's at the moment, she is working with a florist who does lots of weddings. She does my shop. And when I can grab her, I grab her to work in my shop because she's very personable.
Oh, that's so nice. And what do they all make of your life as a farmer now?
I think it just happens. I don't think they think anything extraordinary. Actually, my daughter did say someone made some Lego figures of the farm and all the characters. And my daughter rang up and she said, "I actually never knew you were well known until they made a Lego character of you." And that for her was the kind of thing she did, because I'm just mum. But the fact that there's a Lego Lisa, in fact, it was somebody who had mocked up them from lots of different pieces. So it's not official, but everyone went mad for the Lego characters.
Now, look, tell me about Jeremy Clarkson. I liked looking at the two of you. You seem to honestly, you look like you get on so well. Tell me, where did you
We
meet?
met through mutual friends who had tried to set us up a couple of times, and we eventually met at a Christmas party, and I was just about to leave. We were introduced, and he said, "No, come on, sit down and have a chat." And that was it, really. So he called me a couple of days later, and I thought, okay, you've got a bit of a rep. So he had to really court me. He courted me for a solid 3 months. And then so I thought, okay. And he's very, very good company. And he does make an effort to make me laugh a lot, which I really appreciate. And we get on. So when the first show came out, Jeremy said, "Look, you really won't be in it much. It was just another day, and the cameras were there, and he's worked with all the camera team for years and years." So I just bumbled along, and if I lost my temper, it was because he couldn't talk over me, when because he knew it would ruin the sound and the edit. So that was the only time I could really get my point across. When we had the mic on, he would talk over me normally, as in any couple, but with the mic on, he couldn't. So I just let loose, and then the show comes out, and you realize, oh gosh, yes.
No, it's so funny. I love watching the TV. Tell me about the piglets. Did you have a favorite piggy?
Well, I had Baroness, who was the because they everyone thought she was barren, so we called her Baroness. She had a cyst, a cancerous cyst that was pushing up against her lung. And then yes, recently I've had a favorite piglet. Pig Millie, and she was terribly badly bullied by her sisters and cousins. And when there was feeding time, she'd just wander down to the end of the hill and just kind of look down and kind of go, no, I'm fine. I don't need to eat." So I saved her, and I brought her up to another field because we have a pet Cooney Cooney. And Caleb, he was out drilling, and he saw her and thought she must have escaped. So brought her back, and they've all been sent off to market. So I don't think I'm going to have a favorite again. She's gone.
That's
And
very sad.
he said, "But you didn't tell me." And Jeremy said, "You didn't tell me either." And I said, "Because you would have said no, she has to go to market." So I just took her. And she was my little pet project. But she's sausages now.
Oh, Lisa, that's quite sad. Very
Yeah.
sad. And is Jeremy, is he quite ruthless about things like that, or is he quite soft?
Well, he's a kind of proper farmer. Well, he has to be a proper farmer. So he said, you know, we can't just, you can't just take a pig and, you know, we're not a petting zoo. And I'm, but then he does get emotional. You know, he got really emotional with all the piglets because they would just, we couldn't save them.
Now, you have said, Lisa, that Jeremy's a workaholic. He's also quite opinionated. He likes an argument. He likes a challenge. What is he like to live with for you?
We just mooch along. Like, I would say I'm quite relaxed and I'm quite inquisitive and he's interesting. So I do listen. And then, you know, he'll read me his column sometimes and I will say I disagree with every word of that. He wrote something about Jane Eyre the other day and I just said, that's so lad. I disagree with everything on it. But he will be provocative for that reason. And I like electric cars and he's horrified by that. But I like the silence and I like the cleanliness and he just likes, you know, V12 engine. But, you know, we are each entitled to our own opinions and we have them.
Now, farms can be a great place to get married. Might you ever propose to Jeremy?
I would say the only husbandry happening on the farm at the moment is with Ajax, who is our boar, and we've just put him back in with the sows. Okay. So I think at this stage in your life, I think it's not an important thing as much as it would have been a couple of decades ago.
Absolutely. Well, look, Lisa Hogan, it's been a real pleasure talking to you this morning. And I know that season 4 of Clarkson's Farm, it's just been confirmed by Prime. You're going to be in Ireland at the end of the month. You're the lead fashion judge for the Dubai Duty Free Irish Derby on Sunday, the 30th of June at the Curragh Racecourse. You're going to be looking for best dressed on the day. And in that, you'll be assisted by the fashion writer Barbara Power and Alpana Kadambi and Breedon McLaughlin representing Dubai Duty Free. And it's a great trip to be won. Lisa, thanks so much for chatting to me and enjoy your time in the Cotswolds and on the farm. It looks fab.
Thank you so much.